start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Frankie, baby. Sinatra, that is. New York, New York. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We got a lot of people from New York listening in, among other places. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, June the 7th. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Fred Lucas of the Daily Signal. And we're going to talk to him about the FBI, what they've turned into, and how they need to return to independence and integrity. I'm looking forward to that, so stay tuned in just a few minutes. And three more Republicans enter the presidential race. Meantime, the head of CNN has departed the cable news race. We're going to talk to you about all of that a little bit later. And Florida now admits to sending illegal immigrants out west to California. We're going to take a look at that. And in our ultimate top 10, a good one, the top 10 predicted names. Year's not over yet. Top 10 predicted names for boys that are born in 2023. So there you go. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Arbor Life Tree Service. Whether it's tree enhancement or tree removal, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service company. All you got to do to find out about an estimate is call them, free estimate that is, 727-330-1999. Again, it's 727-330-1999. Well, we want to take a moment to remember that yesterday was D-Day. And for those of you that do not know much about it, it marked the largest amphibious invasion in military history on June the 6th, 1944. So this is the 79th anniversary. The invasion force that landed on D-Day included 7,000 ships and landing craft manned by over 195,000 naval personnel from 8 Allied countries, and included almost 133,000 troops from the United States, Britain, and our allies. By day's end, about 156,000 Allied troops had successfully landed along the beaches of Normandy, but about 4,000 Allied troops were killed on D-Day, with thousands more wounded or missing. So we need to remember that infamous and famous day, D-Day. All right. So we got, what, three more Republicans now that are entering the race. Former Vice President Mike Pence, Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, and somebody that most people really don't know very much about, Bob Burgum, from North Dakota. Now, what chance do any of these people have against either Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? That's the first thought out of my head. Here's what Pence is saying. And by the way, he's entering technically today. And he's got a video that he's going to launch. And in the video, he says, President Joe Biden and the radical left have weakened America, both at home and abroad. The video's release comes hours before his expected formal announcement. He'll make the announcement apparently in Iowa, where the first caucus You know, the first activity for the race begins. Here's what he says, apparently, in the video. The American dream is being crushed under runaway inflation. Wages are dropping. Recession is looming. Our southern border is under siege. And the enemies of freedom are on the march around the world. Now, Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, he's in, and he didn't waste any time going after Donald Trump. I mean, I'm beginning to think he doesn't care whether he wins. He just wants to get his licks in against Trump. So he announces that he's running. In making his second run, he's positioned himself as the person most willing to attack Donald Trump, who, by the way, was his former friend at one point. He was a backer of Donald Trump, you know. In earlier appearances, Christie has called Trump a loser because of his 2020 defeat and said that he was unfit to return to the White House because of the January 6th attack. He said if Trump wins the nomination, he will not vote for him. Now, Burgum seems unfazed about facing off against people like Trump and Ron DeSantis and Mike Pence and other more well-known politicians. Here's what he says. We're undaunted about being unknown. I think it's a great place to begin to tell our story. We have a great story to tell. Well, you better make sure you tell your story to a lot of people, because to be honest with you, hardly anybody knows who you are. I know that Ed knows him well. But other than that, I don't think there are very many people that know him, Ed. So we'll have to hear what he has to say. He claims that he's used to challenges. He steered his one-time small business, by the way, it was Great Plains Software. He turned it into a $1 billion software company.
See how old this guy is?
Let me see here. He's not real old, but I don't see the age. I think I saw a picture of him.
This might be a situation setting himself up for the next one.
Yeah, it might be.
You know, getting his name out. You always got to get your name out on the first try.
Yeah, he's employed a lot of people in North Dakota. Then he eventually sold a software company to Microsoft. So he must have made a lot of money on that sale. That's what I'm thinking. Anyway, we got a lot of things going on there. What about this? Have you heard about this guy, Chris Licht, at CNN?
No.
The guy that was running CNN is out.
What a shame.
Yeah, he barely was there for a cup of coffee.
Mm.
CNN's Chris Licht was fired after a little more than a year on the job as he failed to turn around the long, troubled news network. Let's see here. Licht was handpicked by Warner Brothers last year to replace Jeff Zucker, who was forced out ahead of a long-planned merger that put CNN under the Discovery Channel CEO and his control. Now Licht is out less than 2 years later, and the future of the CEO of the Discovery Channel, which oversees things under Warner Brothers, remains unclear as well. Licht was, you know, he was supposedly trying to make CNN more middle of the road. I don't know how much he really succeeded in doing that. I mean, he forced out Don Lemon. I remember that. I didn't see much change in CNN. And, of course, it all comes down to how many people are watching you. And since it was only friends and family watching CNN, you knew that Licht's time was, you know, Licht's time was going to be measured. Let's put it that way. Says here, Licht was known as a wonderkind producer who over at MSNBC helped create the Morning Joe program and also revitalized CBS's morning program. So he was like a, you know, a golden boy for a while, but sometimes those golden boys start to rust pretty quickly.
With regard to CNN, to turn that around in a year is just not going to happen. Because you create, you know, before him, they created a culture good or bad, whatever it is. And those anchors, all of them have bought into it. And now they're running, well, I would say running wild, but they're running on their own fuel. And they have a right. They're no longer bringing you the news. They're bringing you their opinions. So if you bring somebody in and say, listen, what we're going to do is actually do the news, it's not going to go over well. Those anchors are not going to buy into it. And the whole newscast looks like crap, which it does anyway. But honestly, for CNN, CNN needs to go sports or just fire everybody and start over again.
Do you think they should go back to the way it used to be? Remember when CNN was like the only cable news network?
Well,
remember CNN? Remember CNN headline news and all that stuff?
You never go back to the only network. But let me tell you, there's a lot of anchors out there that are without jobs. And you could create, you could say,
CNN.
If you want to retool the thing, retool it. Retool it from the top all the way to the bottom. You have to. You can't do half and half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just replace the top and think all the people underneath that have been running wild for so long are going to change their tunes.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it.
Yep. You know, it's a very competitive situation. A very competitive situation. But CNN, they weren't even doing as well as MSNBC. They were really at the bottom. So we're not.
They were just running with blinders on. I mean, come on. If I wanted to laugh, I would tune to CNN after something and watch the way they would twist things.
Right. Okay, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Fred Lucas of the Daily Signal is going to join us. We're going to talk about the FBI and then helping return it to, say, independence and integrity.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They are ISO certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ain't it good to...
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday, June the 7th. Thank you for being with us. So, Anna Paulina Luna, who was a Florida congressman, was on the Jesse Waters show yesterday, and she was talking about this contempt of Congress filing against FBI Director Christopher Wray. And she claims that the FBI and some top Democrats are actually running cover to protect the Biden family as this investigation into Hunter Biden continues. She made reference to a mole named One Eye, who has reportedly notified Hunter Biden's Chinese associates that they were under investigation to come. So there's all kinds of things going on with the FBI right now.
Well, you know, she was on this station many times.
Yes.
Before she was elected.
Yes, she was.
And she told us, she told me off the air a couple of times, she said, when I get in there, I'm going to dig up some stuff. And when I find it, I'm going to present it to the American people.
Yeah. Well, she's going after the FBI, and we've got a guy by the name of Fred Lucas, who is chief news correspondent and investigative manager at the Daily Signal. By the way, he is also the author of The Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean elections. Fred, welcome to Freedom Works.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
This is such, I think, such an important thing, this whole situation with the FBI and Hunter Biden. And I tend to think it probably overall might be a worse, and I remember it, a worse scandal than the Watergate, President Nixon situation. So you go on to say that the FBI needs to be, well, independent and apolitical. Do you think they're going to be able to do that the way things are going?
Well, what's interesting, I actually just this morning, I actually met with for an interview with Chairman Comer with the Oversight Committee, and he talked about he believes that the FBI needs completely new leadership up top in order to regain confidence with the public. And so we're going to see this contempt vote tomorrow within the Oversight Committee, and then that's going to go to the full floor of the House.
Yeah, now we're
expect that that'll probably break along party lines, but there will be a contempt vote.
Yes, and we're talking about a contempt of Congress vote against Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI. And it involves this document. I guess it's called a 1023 document. Can you tell us a little bit about the document?
Well, a 1023 document, that is something, it is mostly a raw accusation, but it is it's something that, in this case, the source, the human informant for the FBI, we've learned was paid around $200,000 over the course of several years to inform them on many cases. And in this case, he says that Joe Biden, while serving as vice president, took a $5 million bribe from a foreign national from Ukraine. We don't yet know what the policy change was, but it was for the purpose of changing a public policy that would benefit this person. So the old-fashioned word for that is a bribe. this is substantial. You made a Watergate comparison. I think whatever comparison you make to another political scandal, there's always some sort of gray area often when you talk about another political scandal. In this case, this charge is either true or it's not. Mm-hmm. And if there's a bribery matter here, that is huge. I mean, that's the notion of a vice president, sitting vice president, taking a bribe, and then going on to become elected president. That's not anything's happened for me. Maybe the closest parallel would be Spiro Agnew. He took a bribe as a Maryland governor and then became vice president and had to resign.
Yeah. Yeah, now I mean it in the sense, of course, that it involves not only a sitting president, as did, of course, Watergate, but it also involves an institution, the FBI, people in the FBI, working against the release of information. It involves the family of the president directly, apparently.
Yeah.
It involves, like you mentioned, somebody that apparently has a lot of integrity with the FBI and has been on their payroll for some time, coming out with this information. The one thing you mentioned, my ears perked up a little bit. You mentioned this involves a $5 million payoff to Joe Biden. And you mentioned Ukraine. Is that where?
Yeah. It's believed the foreign national is from Ukraine. Keep in mind, this is during the vice presidency. What Ukraine was mostly known for back then was essentially a lot of corruption within high levels of government. This was well before Zelensky was elected president or anything like that. But Joe Biden was the point man, the Obama administration point man on Ukraine policy.
Mm-hmm. We all remember him coming out and almost taking credit for firing a prosecutor in a trial involving the Burisma Energy Company, which was directly connected to the government of Ukraine, and he said that if they did not fire this prosecutor, that he was going to see to it that the government of the United States withhold, I think it was $1 billion. And his famous words were, "Son of a bitch, they fired him."
Right.
Is that part of this situation, do you think?
We don't know if there's necessarily a direct connection. What we do know, though, is that this FD 1023, this form that the FBI had, the witness has told the FBI that what we've got here is a that the bribe was paid through multiple LLCs, this web of various so-called companies that the Biden family members owned. Now, this accusation was made initially, like sometime between 2017 and 2020. This was pretty much well before we even knew about all the bank records that have recently come out showing that there was this large web of LLCs and companies within the Biden family. So I mean, this was very consistent with what we've learned since that time.
Mm-hmm. So getting back to the FBI and the way that they're conducting this investigation, or involved in this investigation. This thing's been going on for, what, 5 or 6 years? I mean, obviously, yeah, there's got to be something wrong when you have a computer belonging to the son of Joe Biden that clearly states some of this stuff, and they somehow can't move the ball forward. I mean, everybody that I think have with half a brain realizes that they're stalling.
It appears so. I mean,
appears so. Yeah. After 6 years, it appears so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would think what's very important in all of this, though, is to not get, I mean, as bad and as tarnished a record as Hunter Biden has. I think sometimes a lot of people like to distract you on this by saying a Hunter Biden scandal, just because Hunter Biden is so transparently a messed up person in so many ways. And there's a way you can even direct a level of sympathy towards the guy. This is a matter that really involves Joe Biden, in particular now that it looks like there was an actual direct bribe, a $5 million bribe to Joe Biden. But beyond that, it involves a lot of pretty well functioning members of the Biden family, particularly Joe Biden's brothers, Jim Biden and Frank Biden, who have all sort of built this industry of cashing in on Joe Biden's influence. This goes before he was vice president, even back when he was chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate. There were grounds of sort of cashing in on that as well. So this has been going on for a long time, and it's really catching up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
and I think one source I talked to on this, I asked basically sort of a devil's advocate question, and that is they had a nice racket going on here, going right up to the legal line and making a lot of money. Why would Joe Biden, while he was vice president, actually take the risk of engaging in an actual direct payment? And the answer to that was he didn't think he had a future in politics, and he didn't. The presumption was that Hillary Clinton would probably get in, serve two terms, have a younger running mate take the mantle. Everything changed, and now this is all going to come to light because he became president.
Well, that's an interesting take. Go ahead.
And this form is going to come to light. I think we did see Chairman Comer, James Comer, and Jamie Raskin. They both got a look at it, but the FBI is not going to make it public. So, this allowed Jamie Raskin to put a certain spin on it. But it's going to be interesting if this does come light, and I think the FBI form will eventually.
We're talking with Fred Lucas. He is the chief news correspondent and investigative manager at the Daily Signal. By the way, he's also the author of The Myth of Voter Suppression: The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. Tell us a little bit about that book, The Myth of Voter Suppression. A lot of people were saying, you know, different states, including Georgia and here in Florida from time to time, that somehow there was voter suppression going on, but I never saw any. It seemed like, if anything, it went the other way.
Well, yeah, it's one important thing here, and the book makes this clear, in 2021, a number of states, almost half the states in the country, passed election reform laws to make elections more secure. And people cried voter suppression. That includes Joe Biden, people like Stacey Abrams and so forth. What actually happened is we had a much higher voter turnout in 2022. And that's largely because when people trust elections, people tend to vote a little bit more. And voter ID, that's something about 80% of the public across all demographics supports. So that's what one underlying point of this book is, that despite all the sound and fury about voter suppression, that's pretty much a relic of the past right now, because there have been various lawsuits claiming disparate impact and so forth, but no one's been able to produce a plaintiff who was an eligible voter and was denied the right to vote. Mm-hmm. And that's something we go through painstakingly in the book. And I encourage folks to read this and just arm yourself with the facts on this, because that is something that every time a voter ID or any election integrity proposal comes up, that's something that the left's go-to line has always been. This is voter suppression, this is voter suppression, without really explaining why.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to the FBI, Fred, is there any, the way you see it, is there any chance in the near future that we're going to get it back to becoming, you know, the independent investigative branch of the executive department, kind of like the way maybe J. Edgar Hoover and everybody imagined it to be?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there are some problems with J. Edgar Hoover, too. But, this is, right now, it's viewed more partisan, I think, than it ever has been. And J. Edgar Hoover, I mean, sometimes he overreached, but he kind of targeted both sides, I think.
Their job was, it was spelled out, I thought, a little bit more clearly, then it seems to be sliding into politics so much more now.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. And I think that's going to be a problem. I think they really, when you had the Durham report, something key here was that nobody at the FBI denied anything that was in that, because they could. They just said that, oh, we've already fixed this. Well, I think it's clear that they haven't, because they're really stonewalling on this Biden document.
I mean, are they going to have to just do a clean sweep at the top? People like the FBI Director Christopher Wray. I mean, before they can really get back to any kind of where the public would have more confidence in them?
That appears to be the case. I mean, you're not going to see that in this administration, but you're going to see, and probably maybe the next president will have to appoint an entirely new leadership. And from there, I think you'd have to, beyond just new leadership, there'd have to be some sort of audit, maybe internal investigation, get a new inspector general, turn the inspector general loose in the FBI, and Justice Department for that matter, and just really identify problems and clean out people.
Well, Fred, I want to thank you so very much for coming on, and good luck with your book.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I hope we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, look forward to that. Thank you.
All right, sir. Fred Lucas from the Daily Signal. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, Florida, it now admits it did indeed and is sending illegal immigrants out west to California, and we are going to take a look.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISO certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Freedom Works. Thanks for being with us. So, California Governor Gavin Newsom is planning or threatening to sue Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida for having the gall to pick up and transport via airplane a whole bunch of illegal migrants to the Golden State. Florida officials have confirmed that the state indeed is behind multiple migrant flights to California in recent days, saying that the migrants on board gave their consent to go out there. The flights have sparked a furious response and accusations of kidnapping from Gavin Newsom and their attorney general. Now, the Florida Division of Emergency Management says they flew the migrants out there as part of a voluntary relocation. Here's what they say. Through verbal and written consent, these volunteers indicated they wanted to go to California. A contractor was present and ensured that they made it safely to a third party, they say NGO. I don't know what NGO stands for here, but anyway, they get out there safely. California officials had said earlier this week that two planes full of migrants landed at different airports on Friday and Monday out in California, and that they believe the flights came as part of Florida's voluntary migrant transportation. Well, isn't California a sanctuary state? I think so. Why isn't Governor Newsom out there welcoming these people off the planes, you know, with open arms? He should be excited to get more of them. But he's accused Florida of exploiting the migrants. He says the state of Florida needs to be held accountable for these actions. They are cruel. They are inhumane. They are morally bankrupt. They are wrong. So what does he want? He wants all the migrants to stay in Florida and Texas as they cross the border, in Arizona, and he's not going to allow them to come over there? What's going on with him?
By the way, NGO stands for non-governmental organizations, and those are ones that are not funded by the government to help migrants out.
Okay, so these would be in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that. Okay.
Those people that were kidnapped, by the way, I noticed they were in fine-looking clothing.
Yeah, they didn't seem to be too worried about it.
A lot of them had sunglasses, were giving thumbs up, were posing in front of the airplane before they got on. And then, as you said, were interviewed on the plane, were absolutely elated that they had their choice to go to California.
Yeah.
You know, the weather out there in California is similar to Mexico and places like that.
Yeah.
So
why don't they drop them off in Beverly Hills? They can start their whole experience with a tour of the stars.
I would throw a red flag if maybe they were dropped off in Buffalo. Okay, maybe that wouldn't be their first choice to go. But listen, these people are here. Let's say it together, folks. Illegally. And you don't get your choice when you're illegal. At least you're allowed in the damn country.
Yeah.
With a credit card or whatever they give you for your incidentals.
Yeah, I get a kick out of it, like the governor of New York saying, I guess now he's saying, well, we may have to start dropping off migrants in private homes.
That'll
excite everybody in New York.
Mayor Adams said we could pay you maybe as much as $3,500 a month. Is that the number that
the mayor
threw
of New
out
York,
there?
Yeah, I might have said the governor. The mayor of New York.
Yeah.
He's going to pay them at least $125 a day. $125 a day to house migrants, possibly in private homes. Here's the deal. All of these sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, they didn't seem too worried when all of these people were pouring across the Texas border. Texas had to contend with it. But as soon as they moved them up north.
But let's flip it.
Right? Then they get all excited.
They're
about
saying
it.
They're a sanctuary city for people that are Americans. Now when you bring in the migrants.
Americans, yeah.
Now you could technically call them racial about it.
Well, certainly they want to turn them away.
Sure.
My goodness. Hey, did you hear about the hit piece on Casey DeSantis, the wife of Governor Ron DeSantis? Now, mm-hmm. Of course, you knew this was coming from the left.
It's just the beginning.
Walmart Melania. They're calling her Walmart Melania. The mainstream media's attack on Casey DeSantis has spurred an uproar from a bunch of conservative women, many of whom argue left-wing pundits see Casey as a threat as the presidential election nears.
I really wish we could keep the junior high school name calling out of the election.
Of course.
And what the hell does what do spouses and children have to do with the election?
Now,
unless they're Hunter Biden.
Right. Well, Casey does get involved. She's, she does get up there and she does make speeches. She's not like Melania in the sense that she's, I think, a little bit more, what would you say, a little more out there. Doesn't she have a newscaster background?
I think she does. If there was ever a spouse that wouldn't shut up, Hillary set the bar.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, they're going after her. You knew that would happen. Let's see here. So a lot of conservative women going to bat for her. Here, the Daily Beast is a liberal outlet, and their executive editor, a woman, by the way, Katie Baker, described Casey DeSantis' quote, ghastly black leather jacket, noting it, quote, brought to mind nothing so much as the racks of a red state big bin store where it would be retailing for $24.99.
Nothing about being a cancer survivor, is there?
No,
nothing
in there. Of course not. So you knew this was coming. Look, how do the left portray women that are outgoing Republican conservative women? They try to make them look stupid, deer in the headlights type. Look what they did to Sarah Palin. Remember what they did to Sarah Palin?
But Paul, when they're knocking down these women, where's the Me Too movement? Where are they?
Yeah. Well, they tend to forget about women if you're conservative. Just like with Clarence Thomas, they tend to forget about black people if you're a conservative. So there you go. All right. Speaking about California, they have passed a $25 minimum wage for healthcare workers out there. Healthcare workers are going to be excited about it, but it's going to raise the cost of healthcare, that's for sure. It's authored by a Democrat and supported by the Service Employees International Union. Specifically, it requires any healthcare facility, from dialysis to acute psychiatric hospitals, to pay $25 an hour to all workers on the premises, regardless of who the employer is. So, you know what's going to happen. It says here, if this proposed wage hike, because it's only passed the Senate so far, but if it passes the State Assembly and is signed by the governor, it would be an incremental rate hike up to $25. But some claim, including a study that was commissioned by the California Hospital Association, which opposes the bill, that the higher wage rate would increase total annual costs for health care by about $8 billion next year. So, wow. That's what happens when you just arbitrarily raise the cost for people. I mean, the wages for people, just the way it goes. All right, let us take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to give you The top 10 predicted names for boys in 2023.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They are ISO certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Okay, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Wednesday. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. We always thank you for listening in. Now, many times you're not able to listen live, but thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and you can click on the podcast button and you can listen to any show that we've done. He's got all of them on there. He's got the most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the topic is with the guest. You'll see what the top 10 is. You can take your time listening to the show. It's ourfreedomworks.com. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Okay. So, you'll be happy to hear this, Ed. The Department of Energy is expected to finalize regulations restricting which home gas-powered furnaces consumers can purchase in the future. This is great. I just love it when the government starts telling you what you can buy and what you cannot buy. According to experts, the regulations proposed by the Department of Energy would restrict consumer choice, drive prices higher, and likely have a low impact on greenhouse gas emissions. The agency could finalize these rules targeting residential gas furnaces, which more than 50% of American households rely on for space heating. Can you imagine? What are we going to do? Are we going to turn, like a lot of these, especially up north, where, you know, it's much more important. Gas furnaces are usually less expensive than electric heating.
Kind of reminds you of when we used to make fun of certain countries that would make people line up for bread.
Right.
Now they line up for exactly what you're allowed to buy and what you're not allowed to buy.
Yeah. They have no
this
right
is to getting out. It's really getting out
I
of
mean,
hand.
It's totally unconstitutional. Totally unconstitutional, and it's not going to help anything. It's not going to. They think that this is somehow going to end up helping green gas emissions. They're nuts.
Well, every time there's an event, hurricane or whatever, it's because of global warming. Look what's happening in Canada, with the fires up there. That's blamed on global warming, like it's never happened before. And I watch a lot of documentary series. Like the last Alaskans and stuff like that, people that have been up there 100 years. And it's ironic because a couple of weeks ago they were talking about fires in Alaska, and they say fires are needed because it thins the brush out, and that's how we're able to hunt.
Yeah, it cleanses the forest.
And it's been that way for years. Some years it's out of hand. It's from a lightning. It's that time of the year where the thunderstorm's up there and there's a lightning strike. Yeah.
I mean, it's dry rotting brush, and it gets burned away.
That's how animals.
And what happens is the remnants act as a fertilizer, and it replenishes the ground. It replenishes the ground, and we get new growth.
But think of Bambi the deer up there. If Bambi cannot eat dead growth. And that's where fires come in and burn off the dead stuff, and the new stuff grows underneath.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of all of that, Mother Nature and all of the other things, did you hear about the destruction of that dam in southern Ukraine?
Mm-hmm.
That has sent global prices of corn and wheat going through the charts, because so much of our corn and wheat in this world comes from that area. People don't realize it's going to affect the cost now of corn and wheat.
Now, was that hit by something?
Yeah, it was hit by the Russians.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So it was strategic.
It was.
Well,
the Russians are denying they did it. In fact, they're saying the Ukrainians did it on purpose.
Sure, they did.
So in the meantime, the destruction, it's the Kakhovka Dam and Hydroelectric Power Station. And by the way, it provides water for the Crimea as well, and the Crimea is now in Russian hands. So it's affecting Russians, at least in the Crimea region. It's just a horrible thing what's going on in poor Ukraine with all of these things that are going on. Anyway, before we get to our top 10, Ed, we're still in the midst of the finals in both the National Basketball Association and the National Hockey League. I believe in the NBA, it's one game apiece, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, isn't game three tonight?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and it'll be in Miami, and it's the Miami Heat taking on the Denver Nuggets, and then we've got a 2-0 lead for the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Over the Florida Panthers. Mm-hmm. I thought
the Panthers would easily take that.
I know, and it's looking like it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Golden Knights are looking strong.
Yep.
How about our baseball team here, though?
Actually, doing very well. Now, they went to Boston, and they took 3 out of 4 from Boston, and they were home last night against Minnesota and took that one.
And
the good news is that the second place team, the Baltimore Orioles, they've kind of been faltering a little bit, so there's a little bit of a space opening up there. But it's funny that every team in the American League East is above 500.
Every team.
And if you take where the Minnesota Twins are in the Central, the Twins are the only ones above 500, and the rest are below.
Really?
So they're only a couple of games above 500. So the Rays have a test coming up, because the number 2 team in baseball is the Texas Rangers. They will be in town next for the weekend.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you about attendance overall. They have they not quickened the pace of the game?
It is up. It was 14, almost 15,000 last night. Now, that's
okay,
a
Monday.
Okay,
now we're talking about the Rays here.
I'm sorry. That's a Tuesday.
No, that's all right. I want to know whether or not you feel that the new rules in baseball, which force the pitcher to throw the ball sooner, which has sped this game up.
Yes.
Has it helped increase attendance?
Yes, I think it has. There's been a few bumps. Pitchers and catchers get a little upset, and hitters, they get upset when they get caught with a violation. But I think baseball need to be shortened up. 3 hours and some odd minutes is too long to sit in the seat and watch baseball.
I agree with
There's
that.
There's just not enough excitement.
I'm very glad.
But what the Rays have done this year is, at least they have, what I've been screaming for years is, stop it opening the doors and think everybody's going to rush in. You have to entertain them. Because there's a lot of downtime in baseball. You've got pitching changes between innings, without a lot of downtime. You have to entertain the people while they're there. And you got to keep the prices down. And they've done both.
And so the Rays are also
The attendance is up. It's not through the roof. But it's up.
Okay. Well, so we're moving in the right direction. Yeah. Good. All right. It is time for our top 10. And this comes from names.org. They have come up with halfway through the year, they have come up with what they say are the top 10 predicted boys' baby names. that will probably end up being the top 10 at the end of this year. Okay? So let's find out what they are. Here we go. Number 10. Theodore.
Theo.
Theo, or Ted, right? Did you know? They ever, you knew a guy named Ted, didn't you, somewhere along your life?
No. Never knew Ted.
I did. Anyway, Theodore is a Greek name. It means a gift from God. And names.org says about 11,000 boys will be named Theodore in 2023. Number 9, Benjamin.
Okay.
Now, that's a Jewish name. It's a Hebrew name. Did you know that it means son of the right hand? Son of the right hand. And names.org says about 11,300 boys will be named Benjamin this year. Number 8, you like Lucas?
It's a common name.
It's a common name. It's a Latin name. Did you know that it means bringer of light? Lucas. And about 11,700 boys will be named Lucas this year. Number 7. Well, this one, I mean, it's a name of the ages. William. Now, that's an anglicized German name. It means resolute protector.
I think when people pick names, they just want to know how it sounds with the middle and last name.
Yeah, you're right.
And nobody says, oh, what does it mean?
Yeah, I think that's true. Anyway, William is number 7. Number 6, Henry. Did you know Henry's a German name? It means house ruler. Huh, okay. About 12,000 plus boys will be named Henry this year. Number 5, Elijah. That's a biblical name, is it not? It's a Hebrew name. It means the Lord is my God. About 12,200 boys will be named Elijah. Number 4, James. Now, James is a biblical name, a Hebrew name. It means supplanter. Supplanter. About 12,000 plus boys will be named James this year. Number 3, Oliver. Oliver's a Latin name. It means olive tree. How'd you like to be named Oliver? And
call him Ollie.
Yeah, call him Ollie. About 15,200 boys will get that name. Number 2, boy, talk about biblical, Noah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Noah, Hebrew name, you know that it means comfort or rest. About 19,000 plus boys will be named Noah this year. All right.
I would have gone with Noah as number 1, but okay. I don't know.
Yeah. It's Liam.
Liam?
Yeah, L-I-A-M.
Liam, as in Liam Nelson.
Liam Neeson.
Nielsen.
Neeson.
Neeson.
The Irish actor, Liam Neeson. Liam is an Irish name. It means strong-willed warrior. He always plays like a strong-willed warrior in those movies. They predict about 20,600 boys will be named Liam. So there you go.
Whenever I hear names, I always think of that movie, Meet the Fockers. Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah, that is kind of
funny.
When
she married him and they realize that when she gets the last name, her first name is Martha. Her first name is Pamela, and her last name is Martha. So she would be Pamela Martha Farker.
Yes. Well, that's the way things go, my friends. Anyway, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Friday. In the meantime, drive carefully, and remember that freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
You're listening to the TAN Talk Radio Network. CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York, where the smoke is still very thick in the air today from wildfires burning in Canada. Mayor Eric Adams says it's bad.
As I was out walking the streets, clearly You knew something was happening that was beyond normal.
The smoke's now affecting air quality in more than a dozen states, creating potential health hazards for millions. CBS's Lilia Luciano reports.
It smells like a campfire. That is what you sense in the air. It also looks gloomy. It looks like those dystopian films in the future. If you spent time in places like Shanghai, when you look up at the sky and you just see a dot of orange sun and that hazy orange sky.
And it's only expected to get worse as smoke spreads into the Midwest and South. Former Vice President Mike Pence is officially running for president in 2024. He made the big announcement on social media this morning.
I believe in the American people, and I have faith. God is not done with America yet, and together...